The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome in to the fastest 2 hours in radio at YSR on this Friday night, where we always deliver the biggest and the very best in sports. A quick reminder, we want you to connect with us at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and twice is always nice, so you can go back and listen to our show on our podcast page. In case you missed an interview, go to yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. Well, indeed, we have a very special program in store for you over the next 2 hours. And what better way to kick off our Father's Day show than heading out to San Antonio, Texas, into the red zone and visiting with a very dear friend of our show. We wanted to honor a Texas legend and entrepreneur, the former owner of the San Antonio Spurs, my favorite redhead. How are you, Red?
I'm just fine, Ms. Lisa, and I appreciate hearing from you again.
Well, it is always a pleasure. I want to start off our program by just wishing you a happy Father's Day. There's always so much to celebrate and reflect on this special weekend. And I know we've had you on the show many times throughout the years. Why don't you take time to share some early memories of your father and his influence on you? He was the eldest of nine children. Our parents were like prolific, weren't they?
Well, they came from big families because back in their time, you got to remember, I'm kind of ancient myself. But back in their time, big families were kind of the way to go because the bigger the family, the more land you could get to farm. And both of my grandparents were sharecroppers, so that was not unusual. But it just so happened that I'm the eldest of the four children in my family. Mm-hmm. My dad was the eldest in his family of nine children, and my mother was the eldest of eight children. So we all come from being the first in the family, and it just seemed to fall that way.
Would you mind sharing a little bit about your father? Because what he worked 6 days a week from daylight to dusk, earning $25 a week. But one thing about your life story is that your parents were very philanthropic. They always gave back to the community during some very difficult times. I mean, you were born in 27, but it was during the Dust Bowl and during the Depression and those difficult times. I mean, your parents always provided that helping hand to people that were in need.
Well, there's no question. My mother and father both were very active in their First Baptist Church activities and sharing your resources with others who had less. And although we didn't have any abundance, we never really wanted things, of course, but we didn't need. We had what we needed. And many times my parents would take in other families' children. We have them live with us sometimes for as long as months because they'd have some hard luck. Something would happen and one would be ill, the other one couldn't take care of them, etc. So I was raised in an atmosphere of sharing. And I'm often asked what was the most fortunate thing for me in my life. And mm-hmm. I said, well, that's very easy. I was born to caring, sharing parents, and that's not everyone is, and I was very fortunate.
Well, and it's certainly what makes you so different and special is that you have, throughout the years, you've blessed and helped so many others. I mean, you're a giver. You're not just a taker. I mean, what you gave a tremendous amount to the University of Texas. What, a $50 million gift to the School of Business?
Well, that was just kind of for openers.
Yeah.
But Look, we got to stay ahead of those Okies, Alyssa.
Come on, easy. Us Sooners. Okay, well, listen, we are going to be a little bit short on time because we are jam-packed, but I want you to talk to us about your San Antonio Spurs. What are your thoughts on how the series has played out so far? And what in the world, Red McCombs, what is going on at that AT&T Center? I mean, they're playing Portland. They got a snake in the locker room. And then the AC goes out in game one against the Miami Heat. I mean, talk to me here.
Oh, just wait till they come back for the next game.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not Pentecostal.
Well, hey, those things happen, and you can't let them get in your way. You got to play the game just like the other guys got the same situations, and those weren't our tame snakes. Those snakes were after anybody they could get, and so was the Heat. But I don't think that bothered either team particularly. These guys at that level, as you know from being a very top athlete yourself, you are so juiced up to play the game that you hardly even realize it until it's over, and then you wonder why you're so dehydrated. But at any rate, we don't expect that again because we think that we've got the Heat on the run, and we're going to keep the Heat on them. It's hard enough for us to get past the Thunder at Oak City to get to the Heat. And so now we're excited about playing the Heat because we should have beat them 2 years ago. Should have, but we didn't. And we thought we had a better team. And we think we got a better team now. What's really happening is that our bench is scoring. We don't lose a lot of power, either offense or defense, when we bring guys in off the bench. And it's hard for other teams to keep up with us because, you know, even though you can play the whole game, you lose a lot of your edge as you tire getting into that fourth quarter.
Of course, San Antonio's bench. I mean, it was number one in the NBA all season long. And, you know, Red, it's been a while since we've had you on the show, and I wanted to ask you, we've not talked about the fact, you know, Greg Popovich being named the NBA Coach of the Year. He's in his 18th season. He's led your Spurs to the NBA championship four times. What has been the key to his sustained success?
Because he continues to try to improve. A lot of people, when they get into a top job, whether it's a top job in their company or whatever as such, they work so hard to get there, they forget that it's harder to stay there than it was to get there. Pop works day and night, breaking down film, trying to find where he might find a weakness in the other team, trying to find where he might actually get a little bit more out of one of his players. And he is a firm believer of using 9 and 10 men rotations. I mean, most people in basketball use 7 and maybe 8 people in rotation. Pop has always liked to use 9 and 10.
You know, take us back to those early days when Popovich arrived. He was an intern for head coach Larry Brown. What do you remember the first time you met him?
Well, I wondered what he was doing here because he came from a Division III non-scholarship school and he'd gotten a year sabbatical to study under Larry Brown, but I found out very quickly in watching practices and such that he was a very skilled coach, and he came to develop those skills even greater level under Larry Brown, who is known as and is actually one of the best teaching coaches in the league. So he came here for that purpose. But he has grown in the job, Alyssa, because he continues to improve. He is never satisfied with the status quo.
Red McCombs has been with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, and we are flat out of time. I know it was going to be a bit of an abbreviated segment. Red, we definitely wanted to have you on, of course. So we're going to cue up some music, play some Charlie Walker, San Antonio Rose to honor you, and we just want to say thanks so much. We always enjoy our conversations, and I promise I'll be in San Antonio real soon, and we'll go have lunch, okay?
And I will certainly look forward to it.
You bet. Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Stay close. Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, and right now it is time to focus our attention on the NBA Finals. We have certainly been highlighting what a compelling series it has been so far. You've got superstar narratives, and Game 3, that offensive execution by the Spurs. I'm still on over that on Tuesday night. Our next guest knows exactly what it takes to prepare mentally and physically for peak athletic performance. That's because for more than two decades, legendary athletic trainer Tim Grover has been taking greats from Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Dwayne Wade and making them even greater. It's a pleasure to welcome back one of the most sought-after trainers in the world, Tim Grover. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Congratulations on, is this a re-release of your new book, Jump Attack, The Formula for Explosive Athletic Performance?
Well, it's a totally new book with the same title.
Okay.
I mean, I did the book many, many years ago when I was training Michael Jordan, and what happened was every time he'd do a basketball camp or he'd do anything, that all the kids wanted to know, Michael, how do you jump so high? How do you jump so high? So he got tired of answering that question over and over again, and he asked me to put his program down in a book form, that way he can hand it out to the different kids. And, you know, it just ended up taking off. And then it was funny, we were looking on eBay, and those old books are actually selling for close to $1,000. So we were like, okay, let's put the revised program out. So that's how this one formulated.
Okay, so the first version of the book, you're saying it was created in 1990. The Jump Attack program, it was based on a workout that you had created for Michael Jordan. Kind of break it down for us, and how can perhaps, non-professional athletes, how can they relate to it?
Well, you know what? No matter what sport you play, you want to be fast, quick, as explosive as possible. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of factors that determine how much a person can improve on that, but there's definitely room for improvement no matter who you are, what age you are, whether you're male or female. So, but what happens is a lot of programs out there, they only target certain contractions of the way the muscles move. What I've done is I've taken all the aspects that make an athlete better and incorporated them into a sequence form and broke it down into a 12-week program. So what everyone knows that there's certain exercises that help your explosiveness, but what I've done is I've given people the actual formula to help to put it together to increase their athletic ability.
And of course, the title of the book is Jump Attack, The Formula for Explosive Athletic Performance, Jumping Higher and Training Like the Pros. As you're talking about, you break down the X's and O's. Jump Attack, it is a 12-week program divided into three phases. What I enjoyed and my takeaways from the book in terms of, you did talk a lot about nutrition as well. I thought that was really important and key.
Yeah, obviously, you know, you being a very high-level athlete, back in your playing days, you can't be an elite athlete and not focus in on the nutrition part. It goes hand in hand. And I tell a lot of people, it's not what you do in the gym that's going to get you results. It's more what you do outside the gym that's going to magnify those results. Mm-hmm. 'Cause if you go to a gym, you're only going to work out for maybe an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours at the most. But you spend the rest of the time outside of the gym. So if you're going to put that much intensity inside a gym, those other hours that you're away from it are more important, your rest, your recovery, your hydration, your food, in order to maximize that intensity that you put into the gym.
The CEO of Attack Athletics, Tim Grover, legendary trainer to Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade. We got to ask you a couple quick questions about Dwayne, but this is about, in terms of the approach, it's engaging all muscle groups, because I'm sure you're asked all the time, I mean, what muscle has the biggest impact on your jumping?
Yeah, you know, listen, the stronger, more flexible, and the faster a muscle can contract, all right, the more explosive you're going to be. And what I try to do is, explosiveness just isn't about jumping. It's about being able to move side to side. It's being able to stop and go. I mean, if you talk about this series, you look at Tony Parker. Tony Parker doesn't have a great vertical, but his change of direction and his stop and go is very exceptional. So that's his key to his explosiveness. You have Kawhi Leonard, who's able to, you know, stay in front of people on a defensive end. That's his explosiveness. And then, you have on the other scale, you look at LeBron James, he's just being able to do all those components, able to jump, able to move, defend. So there's a lot of components to explosiveness. It just isn't about being able to jump higher. And that's what this program does. It doesn't teach you to take a test. It teaches you to increase your performance in the sport that you play.
Of course, the title of the book is Jump Attack, The Formula for Explosive Athletic Performance. It really does a great job of breaking down and providing, as you're saying, a formula, a blueprint for achieving results that, you know, were just perhaps in the past it was just for elite athletes, but now we can relate to it for sports enthusiasts. Take us through, like, what you've seen so far. Let's move ahead and talk about the Heat and the Spurs series. I mean, what's been your impressions?
Well, I mean, listen, anybody who thought this was going to be an easy series either way, it was not going to happen. I mean, you have the San Antonio Spurs. If you make a mistake,
they make you pay.
The defensive side, they're not only going to make you pay with 2 points, they're probably going to make you pay with 10 points. I mean, they are so precise at moving the ball and doing different things and executing. It's unbelievable. And what I enjoy about that team more than anything else is they're not afraid to make adjustments and hurt and worry about players' egos. You know, they'll substitute a player in and out of the starting lineup at any second, so it keeps the Miami Heat guessing all the time. And, you know, it looked like the last game Miami was a little unprepared for what was thrown at them, mm-hmm. and it caught them big. But today's game, I think I see the Miami Heat coming back and winning this one. But I could see this series going, you know, 6 or all the way to 7. And obviously because my client is with the Heat, I have to go with the Heat.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Dwayne Wade. He's an 11-year veteran, a very special player. He missed 9 straight games late in the season dealing with just kind of a myriad of issues, knee, hamstring, Achilles issues. Can you give us a sense, Tim, of how Dwayne is doing physically?
No, you know what? Listen, at this point of the year, no one is going to be healthy 100%. But this is, you know, I take the old adage that Michael Jordan used to say, if I put on a jersey, I'm 100%. I have no excuses, none of that. So there's no one playing on either team is feeling 100%. But they're going to play as though they are. You know, with Dwayne, we've had to deal with a lot of different issues here and there. But, you know, we've been able to – our goal was to have him as close to 100% for the Indiana series and for the final series. And I think we've done that job. I mean, if you look at the way he did last year, how he played last year and how he's playing now, he's moving so much better.
Mm-hmm.
He's more explosive. You know, are there still things that need to be addressed in the offseason? Of course there are. But I guarantee every player – on both teams, there's going to be some issues that need to be addressed during the offseason.
Okay, listen, best to you. Happy Father's Day weekend. We'll talk to you real soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead this weekend at YSR. Okay, welcome back to YSR and the Big E Sports Show. A quick reminder to follow us on Twitter at @eRadioSports. And if you happen to miss a particular interview, hey, you want to go to yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. You can check out and listen to some of our biggest and our very best interviews. Well, right now we are going to shift gears and we're now going to focus our attention on the World Cup 2014, a sporting event that has truly captivated and united the globe like no other. It is such a pleasure to welcome in this evening best-selling author, New York Times sports columnist George Vesey, who has released his new book. It is titled 8 World Cups, My Journey Through the Beauty and the Dark Side of Soccer. Good evening, George. How are you?
Good evening. Nice to talk to the legendary basketball player and broadcaster.
I don't know about legendary. Maybe in my own mind I am. But talk to me about the 2014, the World Cup. It is underway. We've certainly been looking forward to your perspective as the soccer world and fans have descended in on Brazil. And I know I want to share with our listeners tonight, George, you have covered soccer for 30 years as a reporter and as a columnist for the New York Times. What are your expectations from the World Cup? And in your opinion, what teams are likely to advance?
My expectation are, I hope that the love of soccer that's in the hearts of the Brazilian people will match some of the political protests that are legitimate. People have a right to do that. And I just hope that it continues to be, that it will be a good World Cup for people down there. They love the sport. The team has a 5-star logo on its jersey and on its caps, and that comes from having won 5 World Cups. So they are way ahead of any other nation, and they love the sport. They love their music. And I just hope that the mood continues where they can enjoy being Brazil.
Well, there are certainly very big expectations from Brazil. So strong offense and defense. But were you surprised? Let's talk about the U.S. Soccer manager, I mean, him being, you know, saying that unrealistic that the U.S. could win the World Cup. What was your thought on that?
Well, you as an athlete, I'm just wondering what you would have thought if your coach had said, I don't think we're going to beat Texas.
Oh, that would certainly serve as a great motivator.
We're not going to win the big, what was it, Big 12 in those days?
I was actually a Big 8 girl. So.
Big 8, there you go. So, you know, you'd kind of roll your eyes and say, you know, what does coach think about us, mm-hmm. if that's what they're saying? But usually coaches have, and you know this from being in the business, that coaches have their six favorite cliches to cover that. To say, we know we're up against a good opponent, we're going to do our best, we have a game plan, our guys are... All of that stuff, Klinsmann should have dropped in one of those, and he just didn't do it. But who doesn't forget to say something? Who doesn't blank out? You say the most important part of it, which is, and he's right, realistically, the United States is not going to win the World Cup now or, you know, 4 years from now or 8 years from now. We're just not in that chain yet. But he just didn't temper it enough. He's a smart guy. He speaks English very well. He's German. He lives in the United States. It just was brain freeze on his part to not add one of the cliches.
Okay, so Klinsmann, he makes quite a headline, but what is your belief in terms of him? Do you think that the U.S., that they can at least make a deep run? You're saying that perhaps they can't win at all, but...
No, I don't think they can. They're not in the usual suspect class yet. There's six or eight teams that will be in the semifinals. Some of them will stink in any given year. I mean, Italy and England stunk 4 years ago in South Africa. You never know. But now Spain has joined that inner circle. You can always count on Italy having muscle memory, Argentina, Brazil, and then the team that I'm going to pick to win, which is Germany, because mm-hmm. I think they've been on a roll. They've been getting better since Klinsmann coached them in 2006. Then his assistant, Joachim Löw, has been coaching them ever since, and they're a good squad. They've got a great attitude, and I think they're strong-minded enough, and you know, and people know what it's like to win on the road. You've got to blinker out a lot of the stuff. I think Germany is psychologically able to blinker out the protests and the love that Brazilians have for their own team. I think Germany is strong enough to win the World Cup.
Okay, we're going one-on-one with George Vesey. He is an author, sports columnist with the New York Times. In just a moment, we are going to be previewing his new book that is out, 8 World Cups, My Journey Through the Beauty and the Dark Side of Soccer. So, obviously, your favorite is Germany. Talk to us about the group that they'll be competing against. What, it's Portugal as well?
Right. The United States starts with Ghana. It's a very tough opponent because it knocked the United States out in the last two World Cups. And people know that. That doesn't mean the players won't competing. Theoretically, the United States is better than Ghana, but there is that memory. And they've got six or seven players who play in the Champions League, which the United States doesn't have, meaning they're high quality. Then the U.S. goes against Portugal with Cristiano Ronaldo, just a terrific player. Mm-hmm. And the third game is against Germany. That's where it gets interesting. If the United States needs a point, let's say, a draw, just to get through into the next round to get past the other two teams. And will Germany put out its best team? Will Germany... Of course, Germany's second string is very good, so that may not even apply. But it's a tough group. It's called the group of death, and for the right reasons. And I think the United States is just going to have too much trouble to get out of it.
Okay, so George, on our program each and every week, I mean, we cover a ton of, you know, college football, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball. Talk to us about, in terms of just how, why soccer is the world favorite sport. Help us understand that.
I mean, demonstrably by the numbers, it is. Somebody said that the number of people who watch the World Cup draw is 7 times higher. This is around the world. Than the number that watch the Super Bowl around the world, which, of course, starts with the United States. There's a huge number of fans around the world who love the sport, who know it, who care about it, and the United States is a little bit late getting into the party, but we have so many great sports in our country. I would never say to anybody, give up the sport that you love or played or this or that so you can be a soccer fan. It has to come naturally because of cable. Because of the internet, because of the electronic games that kids play, the new generation or generations know more about soccer than my generation. The old crusty sports writer that used to say, oh, nobody cares about soccer
uh-huh.
because they don't use their hands. You know, uh-huh. one of the best sports writers that I know in my time has always said, because they don't, you know, it's just a cockamamie theory. because when you see how great these athletes are, the things that you could do and still can, I understand, put the ball in from 15, 20 feet out, you're doing it with your hands. These people can do with their feet, not necessarily in a basket, but a man can or our wonderful women teams, they can put a ball on a teammate's feet from 15, 20 yards away at full speed in an impromptu, oh, my teammate's open, I'll give the ball to her, and she'll advance it so much further. That's the way it's done, on the fly, and that's the beauty of the sport.
Give us the pulse on soccer in terms of how it is growing in popularity in the United States. I mean, you're talking about what, you know, record attendances at MLS matches.
Well, the MLS is doing fine. It's outlasted the old North American Soccer League. It's got about 16 teams now, going toward 20. They're growing it slowly. The salaries are finally rising. They're getting good players to come from overseas. All of the above. They're doing a fine job. The U.S. is not producing the kind of the Michael Jordan, the feral star who played in the playground, who played against other guys his own size, his own age. We're not getting those the genius. But we are certainly getting terrific athletes who love the game, and some of them even play. People categorize soccer. It's either a hooligan sport on one hand, or it's a suburban sport on the other. But you can't have it both ways. The U.S. has players that play like poor kids. Clint Dempsey, who's from East Texas, grew up in near the border of Louisiana, playing out in the dusty streets with Mexican kids, lived in a trailer. He plays with a poor boy's intensity and desire. I love to see it. We just need more Clint Dempseys and more Claudio Reynas and Tab Ramoses that we had in the last generation. And the U.S. can move forward, but it's not easy. The rest of the world is out there.
Okay, George Vesey, author, sports columnist with the New York Times, is joining us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. Let's move ahead, George. Let's talk about the new book that you've just released, 8 World Cups, My Journey Through the Beauty and Dark Side of Soccer. You've covered a total of 8 World Cups. Is there one in particular that stands out the most to you?
You know what a parent says? I love all my kids the same.
Okay, yeah.
But the first one in this case, because it was Barcelona, because I saw Brazil, Argentina, and Italy in the same group, wandered around Barcelona, saw the Brazilian fans roaming around, I would put that down as my first. And, you know, we all know what the phrase first love means. You always remember your first love.
Okay, George Vesey has been with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And tell all of our listeners, George, where they can go and get a copy of the book.
They can get it anywhere. I believe in bookstores. Wherever there's a bookstore, you go in and ask, and they can get it for you. I'm told that there's a company that also sells books online and will mail it to you. That's nice, too, but without bookstores, we're all poorer, so I say go buy it from your local bookstore.
Okay, the one thing I have to mention to you as we get ready to wrap up our interview is women's soccer. Of course, I think back to 99, Brandi Chastain and Mia Hamm and Julie Fowd. I mean, that was just an incredible run for women's soccer. You want to add something on that, too?
I appreciate you saying that, and I did allude to it a little bit earlier about women. Those women taught America. One of the chapter titles in my book is called America Wins the World Cup, or USA Wins the World Cup. And I'm talking about the 99ers. We're talking about the team of Christine Lilly and just these great personalities.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how the United States, it's like the founding fathers, how you ever got so many people into one group at one time. Not only great players, but great personalities, just the best and the brightest that an entire generation could. And they won. They won an epic playoff with China in the finals in the Rose Bowl, packed Bill Clinton and his retinue, tying up traffic all the way out into Pasadena. It was a wonderful event, and those women taught us a lesson. And some of my male friends said, I don't like to watch women's soccer. It's not as powerful. It's not as fast. Those women were terrific. And Christine Lilly, playing her position, doing the right thing, the role player, guarding the post on a free kick, bounces it away, saves the ball. Brandi Chastain goes down on one hand, clears the ball with her feet, and then later wins it with a penalty kick. Those women all contributed to it. If we talk about American champ, it was one of the great national teams the U.S. has ever produced, and I give them plenty of respect in this book. They had to be in this book.
And it was an incredible attendance, too, over 90,000 fans at the Rose Bowl.
It was just an amazing day. I was there. I knew those players, and afterward to go and when we're interviewing Christine Lilly outside the locker room, and somebody says, "Lil, what a great play! Imagine you were there to stop the penalty kick from a free kick." And she said, "No, that's my job. That's what Tony taught us to do. That's my position. I did it right." She wouldn't take any credit.
Keep this an open invitation. We want you back, and we talk some more about your book. Okay, George?
Always a pleasure talking to the Big E.
All right. Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Stay close. Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And right now, we are going to turn our attention to the NFL. And not since LeBron James' arrival in 2003 has there been so much hype and anticipation about an athlete in Cleveland. Johnny Manziel has a brand new destination and will be competing to become the new quarterback for the Browns. It is Manziel Mania. It is absolutely underway, and it's a pleasure to welcome back to our show College Football Hall of Fame coach that knows exactly what it takes to elevate one's game to the next level as he has prepared many athletes throughout the year for life in the NFL. We're so delighted to welcome in Texas A&M's all-time winningest coach, R.C. Slocum. How are you, Coach Slocum?
Doing great. Good to be with you, Big E.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Happy Father's Day. I know this is a very special weekend for you. I hope you get to spend some time perhaps with the grandkids, right?
Well, it's a great time of the year. So many fun things going on. Big Texas Sports Hall of Fame golf tournament over this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff going on. Father's Day is fun. I've got, of course, one son's at Green Bay coaching with the Packers, and my other son lives in Houston, and got grandkids, so it's a fun time.
Yeah, you talk about Sean. What, this is his eighth year? What, is a special teams coordinator with Green Bay?
Eighth year. They're actually doing their OTA workouts right now, so he's all enthused that it's actually started again.
Uh-huh.
This coming year, they'll get a little time after these OTAs, but then they'll crank up in July. Full go, but there's very little downtime for those guys.
I was going to say, do you ever get a chance to go up there and spend some time with him and go around practice and around the facilities and hang out with the guys?
Well, I do. I normally go up during the season, early part of the season. I like to go to early games before it gets so cold up there.
Mm-hmm.
But try to get up for a game a year. And in the summertime, he normally comes down here. We try to get everybody together, play some golf, and get him away from football for a short period of time.
Get something.
All we do is talk football when he gets home. So
right.
Most of our conversations are about football.
Well, I opened up. I was asking or sharing a little bit about as far as Johnny Manziel. It seems like he's always the headline. He is the storyline, and it just continues to evolve. And this past week, the big news, what him being drafted in the 28th round of the 2014 Major League Baseball draft by the San Diego Padres. I have to admit, I was unaware of his baseball background. It was a bit of a surprise to me. Can you kind of fill us in on that? And I thought that was a pretty intriguing storyline about Johnny.
Well, he's just such a great athlete. You know, he's played baseball. He plays golf. A really good golfer. And he can do whatever he wants to do athletically. And, you know, that's probably a pretty clever little ploy. It was late in the draft. But if you got a late pick, just go ahead and put his name on there and just kind of roll the dice. And, you know, a long shot kind of a deal. But I have no doubt he can do just about whatever he wants to do athletically. He's really a talented guy, and I think he'll do well in the NFL.
You're listening to the voice of R.C. Slocum, College Football Hall of Fame coach from Texas A&M. He also, I have to add, was the 2014 recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award and is the winningest football coach in A&M history. So you're kind of sharing a bit about in terms of some of those early obstacles that will have to come, you know, continuing to be a student of the game. R.C., how big of a concern is, you know, he's undersized as a QB. What, he's 5'11", 207?
He, you know, he's short, but there have been guys that have played. You know, Drew Brees is not a real big guy. The Wilson kid's not a real big guy. So he has to offset that, the mobility that a lot of the guys don't have. I mean, he's got great mobility, and he's got, I think, his best suit that he has is his awareness. And over the years in watching quarterbacks, one of the things as a defensive coach I was always concerned about is what does the guy do when you get pressure on him? You know, when you get someone loose and get someone in the backfield and he sees the pressure with the most guys see the pressure and they focus on the pressure and they try to get away from the pressure. And in most cases, they lose sight of what's going on down the field. The rare guys, the great guys, they are aware of the pressure. They know they feel it, but they never lose sight of what's going on down the field. And those are the guys that move and have the ability to move away from the pressure. But at the same time, they're fully aware of what's going on downfield, and they end up hurting you with big plays. And I think Johnny has as much of that as anyone I've ever seen. Just the awareness and ability to in football, we talk about extending plays. Mm-hmm. He has as much ability to extend a play as anyone I've ever seen.
Well, he's got the ability to extend plays. He's got those scrambling skills. And I would just assume, you know, if I'm Johnny Manziel, what an inspiration Russell Wilson would be. I see a lot of similarities perhaps within their game.
I think all those guys, you know, the ones that are mobile. And the thing that I think Johnny will have to do, without a doubt, now they play 16 regular season games, and those guys are big and fast, and when they hit, it hurts. So I think he will have to become more aware of when he runs and, you know, getting better at sliding and not taking those hits. You just can't survive, I don't think, 16 regular season games taking very many of those hits. So he'll have to pick and choose a little more, I think, about when he runs, when he leaves the pocket. But I think he can do that. And that's what, as I look at Wilson, you know, he has great running skills, but he's pretty picky about when he tucks it and runs with it.
RC, we're getting ready to wrap up our interview. How much of a concern is it in terms of, I mean, Johnny's so young. I know that he's enjoying all the attention in life. But how much of a concern is his social life?
You know, it's probably not as big a concern to me as it is to a lot of people. I've been amazed. I talk to people and, you know, they'll ask me about him, and I say, you know, he's good. And he said, but what about all the off the field stuff? And I said, well, what stuff? Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, all that stuff you read about, hear about, all the, I said, what stuff? Tell me the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, specifically tell me what are the things you're talking about? I said, yeah, he's a 21-year-old kid. He's doing what college kids do and all that. But I mean, he's not stealing things, he's not robbing, he's not raping
girls.
He's not doing criminal things, and he's doing silly little things that kids do at that age, and he's fun on the field. One of the things I admire the most, I don't think I've ever seen him have a long look on the field. He's out there laughing and having fun, and his little gesture he does with the bunny thing.
That was great at the NFL draft,
it's kids, you know, that's some little deal, and there have been so many guys that make different types of, you know, when they do something in football, they have different little mannerisms or things they do, whether it's pumping their fist or doing, you know, I've seen the great players. I've seen Tiger, you know, pump his fist after one of those great putts or whatever. Well, I mean, what does that mean? You know, I mean, are we going to be critical of him for doing that or what? You know, people have expressions, and I love his spirit. I love the competitiveness and the fact that he shows up and likes to play, and he plays football. Now, I see him out there running around. So anyway, I think he'll do fine, and I'm anxious to see. But if I had to guess or to bet, I'd bet he'll be fine.
Well, RC, we are short on time. We wanted to make a point and have you on and wish you a happy Father's Day. Enjoy the U.S. Open the remainder of the weekend, and I look forward to catching up with you in the month of August as we'll take a look to the 2014 college football season. It will be here soon, okay?
All right, thanks.
Absolutely.
Always good to be with you.
You bet. Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.